The following program is brought to you in living color.
The Dean Martin Celebrity Roast, coming to you from the MGM Grand Hotel in the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Ladies and gentlemen, from the beautiful Ziegfeld Room, tonight's star-studded roast has brought together some of the world's greatest entertainers. They've come from all over the world to be here tonight, here in Las Vegas, in person, joining Dean Martin as he honors tonight's very special Man of the Year, Michael Landon. With tonight's guests, Merlin Olsen, Brian Keith, Don Rickles, Melissa Gilbert, Rich Little, Dick Butkus, Lauren Green, Bubba Smith, Maureen Murphy, Vic Tabak, Pat Harrington Jr., Dick Shawn, Orson Welles, Norm Crosby, Slapping White, and your roastmaster, Dean Martin.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Landon.
I think that is.
Go on.
I just started talking. Yeah. I was too excited. That was good. I think that his hands actually, if I recall, match his face better in this one.
Yeah, well, he's also how much older?
He looks. Yes, he looks so old.
I mean, he's like 9 years older here, right?
Actually, a lot of the people, I was sort of surprised by the people who are on both, how much older they looked. But I mean, yeah, it's been, what, 9 or 10 years, people age and everything, but it was kind of surprising, actually. I mean, maybe just watching them essentially back-to-back made it really obvious, you know? But
so there's a couple things that I just want to say right off the bat about this particular thing. And what we are discussing is the 1985 Michael Landon Man of the Year special. And I didn't notice it last time, but this time I can't even talk.
Yes.
It's at the Ziegfeld Room. Do you know if the last one was in the Ziegfeld Room?
Oh, I don't remember.
Chris,
that.
You've been to the Ziegfeld Theater, right?
I never was. Never was.
And Kelly, when never you were in New York, did you have a chance to go there? Theater. I mean,
Nope.
So next time you guys are in New York, you really should take your time. Just it's a historic theater for one thing, and it's huge. And
is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
Is it?
And, it is. Yeah, and I saw Vertigo there, maybe 5 years ago. But you know, and it's still like a really beautiful place. So that's all. But I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing that it has something to do with the same ownership. I just looked it up in the MGM. Opened up in 1973, so it was already a little bit old, you know?
Mm.
85, I mean, 12 years old at this point. It's kind of interesting. That's how old I was. I was born in 73. Just like the MGM.
No. You have the same birthday, just like me and Sully?
Just like you and Sully, yeah. And then they tore down the MGM because it got too old. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, but I also want to say that this roast or tribute is at a period of time where this stuff is super outdated already. I would say even in the 70s, it was a little bit outdated already. I love this kind of stuff, but what do you think about that, Chris? I mean, do you remember 85 fondly, I'm sure? I mean,
I was surprised that he was still going with this stuff. I thought it stopped a couple of years earlier, like, at least early.
What was the audience here? I mean, Back to the Future came out in 1985, you know? It puts it a little bit into perspective of, like, what was going on? I mean, Little House was off the air at this point.
Was it off the air? I was going to ask that. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, depends
on when. Yeah, so Little House ended, and I think he was working on Highway to Heaven. So
that's right.
He was in a
rush. And I also want to say that the people that are on this are kind of incredible to me anyway. I mean, Orson Welles. I mean, it's Orson Welles.
Yep.
I mean, it's just I mean, I think that that was like the special one. Like that was like Michael Landon wanted Orson Welles to be there. But Rich Little, as a kid, I always found Rich Little be really hilarious. Bunch of people I don't know.
I'm gonna question that if really? We listen to him.
Well, I'm not saying he did his best work here, but I don't know. Don't you look back at Rich Little's career and kind of fondly?
I remember liking him. Mm-hmm. Thought he was good at what he did.
Yeah.
But nowadays, and look at his hair. Like, come on, that's dyed. That is dyed.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy's like 40. I don't know how old is he. Of course, it's dyed. And also, I don't know who Dick Butkus is, but it's a great name. Wait, is that the other football player?
It is actually a crazy name.
So that's the other white guy, right?
Isn't there an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, where Dick Van Dyke Dick had Butkus? Some song called Butkus or something, and then somebody recorded it, and it was his song? Anyway, that's what the name makes me think of, because I'm pretty sure that was the song in Dick Van Dyke, Butkus.
Butkus?
I think so.
Dick Van Dyke. I'm just kind of curious what that connection is. Dun, 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 dun. Bubkis is a Yiddish word. Who knew? Means nothing.
Right, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I know it. Now I'm thinking. There was an episode called Bubkis, season 4, episode 23. And Dick Van Dyke's character, Rob, discovers a song he co-wrote years ago and is now a hit called Bubkis. But he may have accidentally given away the rights for nothing. The episode features a catchy song about the word itself, and it introduces Yiddish terms like shlemiel and verblanget. I don't know what verblanget is. I know shlemiel to a broader audience. That's funny. You know,
Dick Van Dyke. How do you spell
verblanget? You know, Dick Van Dyke is 100.
Just turned 100.
Just turned 100.
Yeah, that was just a couple days ago.
Yeah, do we have any celebratory thing for, like, woohoo?
And he's still pretty...
What? Sorry.
He's still pretty spry.
It's like
for someone who's 100 years old.
He went on Facebook and he had Ringo Starr and Ringo Starr.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Chris, do you remember when Ringo Starr did that? He's like, I'm not going to sign any more of your crap. Stop sending it to me. And he made this. Those words, that's a quote. No, he didn't say crap. But that's kind of funny. So I want to say that the cast in this is pretty good. It's really outdated. At 80, I wouldn't be watching this as a kid. So
I was 20 years old. Yeah, I'd be watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, all right, so at 20, you understand a little bit more. At 12, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at.
Right, right. Who are these old people?
Everybody was old.
Who really was the audience for this, though? Because that kind of brings up something that I was wondering. I mean, who are they kind of targeting with the humor and everything?
So I was going to say,
also.
Let's talk for you. Ladies first. Go.
Sorry.
Well, who was the audience? And whoever the audience was, does that explain why this is insanely more falling on the side of just a tribute rather than actually roasting him? Because they really do not make any jokes.
No.
Really at his expense. Yeah, just like it's not a roast at all. And any of the stuff, there are some funny bits in here and everything. Like, don't get me wrong, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was, like, not a roast of him. Mm. It was more just, like, some people sort of doing little routines. And then
lecturing.
Like, oh, Michael Landon, you're great.
And lecturing about drugs.
I want to talk about that.
I was so disappointed because when I was watching this and I got all excited when she got up and I even made Pete come into the room because she was up and I was all excited. And then it was that. And then I was like, are you kidding me? This sucks.
Right. It's like you expect it. And then, you know what I didn't like about it? Like, it's like, coming up, Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, and then yeah. whatever. And then she comes up and it's like they cut to her staring right into the camera. And she's like, don't do drugs. And that's it. Don't do drugs. Thanks a lot, Melissa Gilbert.
Meanwhile, she was doing drugs with Rob Lowe in that hotel room or whatever.
I have no idea if that's true. I like how Chris makes it, like, basically says somebody's, like, doing cocaine or something like that. I wish I had the clip right here for cocaine. But, and then I have to, like, pull it out of him. And he's like, oh, I'm just kidding.
You know, one thing that where you say it's not a roast, I think this whole thing is slapdash. I think it's poorly edited.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how in the prior Landon roast, we were marveling at the sign and the image that they had of Michael Landon, the drawing?
Okay.
There is a drawing here behind them, but we never see it.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, but you never get a close up.
Yeah, that could be anybody. That could be you, Chris.
And that's you know much what? Worse.
Chris, we have to like create a thing where everybody's picture gets put in here. Man of the year. Even you, Kelly. You're gonna be man of the year, Kelly.
Well, so were you about to say that your mother would have been in the audience for something like this though?
Before? All right, So my mother was born in 1938, right? Like forever ago. Mm-hmm. And she loved Michael Landon. But all of these mm-hmm. other people I remember, for the most part, she'd be like, oh, that's like for old people. You know, like she wouldn't pay any attention to somebody like Rich Little or
mm-hmm.
she had no interest whatsoever with like people from the like late 60s and 70s. It was like she just left it behind. And so, yeah, I don't know who the audience would have been, but she might have watched this for Michael Landon.
Hmm.
Isn't that the audience, fans of Michael Landon? When did, by the way, so Highway to Heaven, what, is in its second season mm-hmm. or what?
Maybe.
Okay. They do talk about that a lot.
If it is for fans of Michael Landon, this actually kind of goes nicely into something that I was thinking about, which we sort of touched on last time, and I at the end kind of brought up my Michael Landon syndrome that mm-hmm. I like to talk about from time to time.
Yeah.
And I kind of wondered at this point, because even Mark's like, I've heard this so many times, shut up.
No, okay, it's the MLT, it's the Michael Landon theory.
I'm gonna write a book about it someday.
MLT.
So the first roast, they actually were kind of like, you know, little jabs at him, you know, nothing like insane, but I mean, they were making jokes about Michael Landon.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, no jokes about Michael Landon. So the first one, it was what, the first year of Little House to Little House is he's off Bonanza. Little House is kind of just like gearing up, right? Kind of just getting going. And then here, Little House is over by this point. He has this following. I mean, he had a following before Little House, but you know how like the Little House fans that are the type of people who would have Michael Landon syndrome
mm-hmm.
and they exist kind of in droves, right? So they're all like totally into Michael Landon at this point, and they think that he is just this perfect husband and father and everything. And it's like, he's untouchable. And he still is like that with this set of people where you can't really even just discuss some facts about his life without them getting like really mad because it like destroys their image of him or whatever.
I think you're forgetting one major part of this episode. And that's somebody probably nobody here has heard of. And that's Maureen Murphy, who brought up his ears.
Oh, that's true. She
I can't believe. Ears. Yeah. I can't believe they aired that.
Does he really have big ears?
Well, he has like an issue. Like he doesn't like his ears, right? I mean, I forget what the.
You can see them on Bonanza, though. I mean, you can see them if you watch Bonanza because his hair was kind of shorter back then. But yeah, you're right. She does bring up the ears.
Which
but,
I was really. I was like, wow, you never worked again, really. I don't know who she is. I looked her up on YouTube, and it was the same comic routine.
Jokes. Yeah, I was surprised by that.
She barely has an Australian accent, so I don't know what that's about.
I actually didn't even realize that she was Australian until she basically said she was. And yeah, she really didn't sound like it.
Yeah, she says things like blokes and stuff like that, and that's about it. You know, like, I don't know. I think she's like kind of making believe or something like that. But she really did nothing. On IMDb, she has like four things. So I don't know what her situation is.
Well, like
maybe she dated the right people or something. Pretty woman. I mean,
after this comedy shtick, though, I was like, I understand why she didn't work again. She's not that funny.
Well, I also don't understand what she did before 1987. I mean, her first role is a cosmetics clerk in the movie Roxanne. Isn't that with Steve Martin? Yeah, with Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah. It's actually a pretty decent movie. But after that, it's like the Dom DeLuise show. And it's not like she died or anything like that. She died in 2018. I mean, she died in 2018, but she didn't die. You know, she just kind of stopped.
It's not like she died or anything until she died.
She like totally died, but her career died first. I don't know what her deal is. I'm just not really.
Do you want to play a snatch of
what?
Her shtick. What? I just said what?
It's a family show.
It's funny. I thought Vic Tayback was funnier than her. Okay. No,
I think it's just funny to see Vic Tayback, personally. Did you ever watch Alice? Glasses. Kelly, did you ever watch Alice?
A very, very, very long time ago. I think I saw it, but I didn't really.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't even know if you know who he is. Funny guy, though. And also the guy Schneider, who like I didn't even recognize.
He gets about a minute. That's it. And he doesn't say anything very funny.
Wait, so we have Rich Little in front of us right now. So I'm going to play. I'll just play some of him. He does a Ronald Reagan impression, which everybody was doing back in the 80s. Reagan had been reelected at this point. I do want to point out.
Wait.
What?
I was going to say, do we want to talk about Michael's hair? Like, is it better than last time? Is it?
Oh, there.
No,
same.
I think I mean, well, so this is
definitely. It's longer than it was last time.
Yeah.
But this is definitely that Highway to Heaven mullet that he was rocking.
But here's a little Rich Little. See, even the tuxedo, I think, for 85 is outdated. Those ruffles. It's not that I know anything about tuxedos. It feels like really outdated. And was Rich Little even famous at this point? I mean, he's kind of like 81, right, Chris?
Yeah, I think he's famous by now. Yeah, oh, yeah.
No, he's famous. But isn't he kind of gone already? I mean, he's kind of he's a leftover.
It's kind of like ventriloquism. Like, that went out, and so did Impressionists.
Yeah.
Fred Traveling is the only other one I know.
An Impressionist really didn't come back until, like, Jim Carrey or somebody, who actually does a pretty good Michael Landon, believe it or not.
What?
Did you ever see that, Kelly?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I'll dig it up.
Michael, you've done a lot of series over the years, but the one that I remember the best... Bonanza, right? Great show. I used to watch it as a kid, you know, every single episode.
So it's kind of a joke that I don't think it lands that well. I guess it's supposed to be because he's claiming to be young.
I always remember Michael Landon's hair is black, but this is like kind of brown.
Well, his hair was gray. He was dying it like crazy.
Yeah,
his
hair he dyed it. I mean, his hair was gray by the end of Bonanza.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the latest seasons of Bonanza, it is gray.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that. Do you know that I'm an authority on Bonanza? For instance, I'll bet you didn't know that Michael Landon, Dan Blocker, Pernell Roberts, and Lauren Green were not the first choices for Bonanza. They had other people in mind before them. And
Bonanza's been off the air at this point for well over a decade. Right?
Mm-hmm. and is it even in syndication? Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember Bonanza being in syndication when I was a kid.
Right. Right.
So, really outdated.
Couldn't get them. For instance, do you know who they originally wanted to play the part of Ben Cartwright?
He likes to say Juno a lot.
Juno.
Juno. I know what he's really saying. I know what he's saying.
Ronald Reagan.
I think Ronald Reagan actually would be pretty good in the role.
Ronnie Cartwright. Could you picture Ronald Reagan as Ben Cartwright?
Yeah, Michael Landon looks excited about that.
Right. But it's also kind of weird to, I mean, I guess it's funny to do an impersonation of Ronald Reagan at that moment instead of doing an impersonation of Ronald Reagan from over a decade ago. Because Ronald Reagan in his old age, he was acting like this. But I don't know, when he was governor of California, he certainly didn't have like the old man shakes.
Well,
you imagine this is your like you actually can make a career doing a relatively okay impersonation of Ronald Reagan. It's not a hard. It's crazy. All right, let's jump around a little. I take back everything I said about Rich Little. But I did grow up very fondly watching him. Him and Tim Conway, I really liked a lot as a kid. Tim Conway's Yikes. Funny, don't you think? Kelly's like, I have no idea any of these people. let's see, his Jack Nicholson I don't think is very good.
Originally wanted Jack Nicholson. Pa. I gotta tell you, man, I gotta tell you right.
Michael Landon loves it.
so does Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, I mean, his last role.
Orson Welles is looking like someone who would play a hobo at the railroad station on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Orson Welles. I would have loved to see him show up in Little House on the Prairie. Holy cow. Yeah.
When he speaks, though, he can barely catch his breath. It's like, I was, like, worried.
Big smoker, big drinker, you know, he didn't take care of himself. He had a lot of anger. You know, what his final words were on his deathbed was,
Rosebud?
No, that'd be funny. no, it was, keep Ted away from my movie with his goddamn crayons. Like, don't colorize Citizen Kane. So, oddly enough, I mean, Orson Welles would die on October 10th, 1985. So I don't know when this was really? Filmed.
Oh, wow. So this was really close to his death.
Yeah. Hmm. So keep making fun of him. So even though it's not listed, when he was alive, his last role, like these other movies came out afterward. Do you know what it was, Chris? I don't know. Kelly, I don't know if you ever looked into this. It's kind of a
weird... I know he was in a Pia Zadora movie.
No, he was the voice of... He was the voice of Unicron in Transformers the movie.
Oh, really? The cartoon, though, right?
Yeah, the great Orson Welles' last role was in the Transformers movie. That's not great.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I love Orson Welles.
Well, the problem is, Pa,
that I'm carrying this show. You and those other two bozos aren't doing a damn thing. You know what I mean?
I feel like they don't, I don't know. None of these people really watch the show.
Well, I kind of feel like that with a, so that's another thing that was disappointing about this, because I feel like a lot of the people, and I felt this way the first time too, that they didn't really, you know, watch the shows that he was in. So they don't really, they can't really make jokes about it. Right. But on this one, they had Melissa Gilbert and Merlin Olsen.
Yeah.
They totally should have had great material, because jokes related to the show or their personal relationship with Michael Landon even. And they totally did not go there.
Yeah, instead they're like,
it was such a letdown.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, basically.
outside of Melissa Gilbert and Merlin Olsen, I really believe no one else here is friends with Michael Landon. I just don't.
I don't know.
I don't think Brian Keith hangs out with Michael Landon. I don't.
I
Slappy White? You really think Slappy White?
Slappy White.
Michael Landon.
Slappy White did, like, the guy didn't even work until these roasts kind of came around. He's in he's in so many roasts and stuff. So the Ziegfeld Room, by the way, holds 800 people. Imagine being in Vegas and it's like, oh yeah, there's going to be a Michael Landon roast. I wonder who's in the audience. Like, is it just general schmoes who got comped a ticket, or the actual celebrities?
They had to pay $100 per ticket. Come on.
You think so? I bet you they might have. Or at least that was the comp price. So they could, you know, write it off.
I'm sorry. I was looking to see if they had tables at where they were sitting in the audience. So they do. Okay. So they get dinner and everything.
You think it's dinner? I don't know if that's. Yeah, I would think this is more cocktails.
If this were happening now, this would completely be a Groupon deal.
That'd be awesome.
Like, you'd go on Groupon.
Before you check out, do you want to do mini golf? Can we add in a mini golf and maybe a cruiser on the Statue of Liberty? Like, what? I know. All right. So,
do you want to play Melissa Gilbert's stuff? Because I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything.
I really did. Now that you pointed out, Chris, I really would love to see this picture, the Man of the Year photo.
Right? I mean, I think from the faraway shot that you showed earlier, this illustration is not as good as the first one the first roast.
I mean, they should have opened with it, right?
It looks like a Little House shirt.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was thinking that. I think it is the Little House shirt.
Well, it's certainly not Highway to Heaven, because it would be like a denim shirt.
Yeah, he pretty much exclusively wore denim on
that like
show.
Basically what everybody's dad wore, you know, like a button up denim collared shirt.
With denim shorts, right?
With what, Chris?
With denim jeans too, right?
So he had,
what do you call that? A Canadian tuxedo is what they call that, I think.
Canadian tuxedo.
That's so funny.
You ever see those like tuxedos, the denim, well, not the denim suits? They're kind of amazing.
They have that?
Yeah.
Can you see them? You ever see Cary Grant sneeze? That's you.
I don't get it. Sorry. I did laugh a lot during this, though. So I think some of the material's pretty good. These glasses, in the 80s,
people everybody's just got them. Vic Tapeback has those.
Yeah. Who is this guy? Is that Dick Shaw?
He was Schneider on One Day at a Time.
Oh, yeah. I cannot recognize this guy without his tool belt. But did he do anything else?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
So, yeah. Why is he there? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I thought that these guys were pretty good.
Yeah, I thought they were funny.
I know you said, like, should I play Melissa Gilbert? I'm going to play this, and I'll jump to Melissa Gilbert. He looks like a frail old man in the middle, actually.
He does. Do you know Dean Martin died on Christmas Day? 1995, I think it was. 1995. So he has another 10 years but he looks like as close to death as Orson Welles does.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
Getting a little bit of the size of these guys, you know. He's 6'12", I think. Oh, by the way, I saw that beer commercial you two did. Do you guys really enjoy the opera?
We sure do. My favorite is Rigoletto.
That's mine, especially with little spaghetti and meatballs on the side. I like it.
Yeah, and I like the Barber of Seville.
Well, so do I, but I ain't gonna go all the way to Spain just for a haircut. I've had a quick while I'm behind.
I feel like that's a joke my grandfather would tell or something.
I was just saying, that's like a dad joke. That's a dad joke before dad jokes.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I like it, you know? So Vic Tayback, I mean, those are cool glasses, I think.
They are.
I wouldn't wear them, but I mean,
he's like pulling Vic it off. Tayback.
Yeah, it looks good for him. And even Vic Tayback, did he do anything outside of Alice?
No. I wonder if Alice must be off the air by now. One Day at a Time was definitely off the air. They even say that.
No, wait. So this is totally. Who was in Alice? Was that Jimmy McKeon?
Yes, it's a McKeon. I don't know what his first name is.
So this is a separate departure because his sister is the girl who played
Nancy
Joe.
McKeon. Yes,
played Joe in The Facts of Life. So I don't know what made me search it on YouTube, but I searched for and this is going to definitely be before your time, Kelly. Is Practical Jokers and Bloopers or something? I forget exactly what it's called. But it was a TV show called, you know, basically they would do pranks on celebrities. But this is like before the MTV days. And it like they would do these elaborate things. Do you remember this, Chris?
I do not.
I mean, this was elaborate. They got like Nancy McKeon and her brother to go to this clothing store where they heard that they have a really great deal. So they're basically going to go in there and the prices are ridiculously low to the point where it's like super sketchy, and they're going to have the police raid while he's in the changing room with his pants off.
And, oh my God.
Right. And it's like, they do that. And he gets like really kind of mad because they won't give him his pants. And he's like in the changing room and he's like, look, if you want to arrest me, you arrest me. And he comes out in his underwear and he's wearing these like tidy red like underwear. But it's one of those shows I completely forgot existed.
It is on YouTube.
It was like Ed McMahon, I think, hosted it with Dick Clark.
Yes.
And yeah, so just one of those things to go down the rabbit hole. I forgot to do it today, but I wanted to see maybe Michael Landon was even a part of like a Practical Joke at some point, and we just completely forgot. So anyway, they used to do these ridiculous things where they would steal somebody's car and you're just like, what? Or like they would have like somebody tow away the car and you have the celebrity freaking out. I don't know. I guess you couldn't really pull that off these days. Get shot. So anyway, so I don't know why I just brought that up except for the McKeon.
Dick, would you like to initiate or commence our portion of the show?
No, but I'll begin if you like. Probably a lot of you are wondering why two.
Was he in the Eddie Murphy?
Stroker Ace?
I never saw Stroker. Oh, yeah, I did see Stroker Ace. With Burt Reynolds. So, but was he in Beverly Hills Cop? Was he the cop in it?
No.
Oh, he looks
like. No.
Ex-football players.
He was in Police Academy, though.
Who never.
Yeah, but they were both in Police Academy, right?
I don't know about Dick Buckus, no.
Yeah, I think he was.
We met our guest of honor here.
I thought that they pulled that off fairly well.
Probably a lot of you are wondering why two ex-football players who never met our guest of honor are here. Here.
I guess they wanted someone on the dais with a little class and culture.
Yeah, I guess. You got it. They think us football players are, you know, animals who don't know about intellectual things like the fact that it took Michelangelo 2 years to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
Could have done it in 2 weeks if he had used a roller.
Well,
see, I feel like that was a missed opportunity to call Michelangelo.
Well, let's get to our tribute. Bubba, why don't you say some nice things about Michael?
Michael, our people in the ghetto just love you because you are the king of rock and roll.
Excuse me.
This is how I start most of my speeches. I say, people, my people in the ghetto.
Excuse me. You had that number one album, Thriller. And everyone just loved it when you put on that one glove with the sequin.
So it's so weird. Yeah, I mean, I remember Michael Jackson used to wear big glasses like that. Was this planned? Did he really wear glasses like this all the time? So weird.
No. Bubba, you're thinking Michael Jackson. This is Michael Landon.
I thought he looked a little pale.
It didn't age well, right? Michael Jackson would become extremely pale.
I can't imagine how hard it is to be Michael Landon right now, having to like fake laugh throughout this entire show. I could not do it.
Well, that was the most modern joke in this entire thing. I mean, you remember how big Michael Jackson was at the time. So it's like everybody was trying to squeeze him into every single thing.
That is a Lauren Bubba, Gray laugh. Right,
he's like,
there.
Ah, he said ghetto.
Hey, man.
Bubba's.
You laugh at us one more time, and you're going to be drinking AstroTurf.
And there was no reference that all right, so they're both ex-NFL players, right? But so is
Rich Little and Rickles.
That'd be hilarious. But these two are ex-NFL, right? And so is Merlin Olsen. But there was no like thing. Like they all three of them could have done like kind of an NFL type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jackson.
I forgot Merlin Olsen's football.
Yeah. Actually Kelly's husband Pete has a bunch of the cards, and actually I went and I bought a couple.
Of Merlin Olsen?
Yeah, because he had like football cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, I think that they're a cool like little collectible, you know. Definitely jump on eBay and grab some.
We're here tonight to honor Michael because as athletes ourselves, we appreciate that he was a big track star in high school.
So those glasses are total like like you're a drug addict kind of glasses.
Exactly.
Right? Your eyes are all red. You know, come on.
Right. I bet a lot of you people didn't know this, but in 1954, Michael threw the javelin 211 feet and turned into a national champ.
And in that same year, by mistake, he threw the javelin at the coach and turned him into a soprano.
So this is one of the problems, Chris, like you brought this up, how hard it is to laugh at they have to like act like these are the funniest jokes ever.
Yeah. I could not do it.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Only during Slappy White could I really laugh.
I would have really liked to see more modern comics kind of pop up on this. But I guess
these were the modern friends. Comics.
No, I mean, wasn't Rodney Dangerfield coming up at this point?
Rodney and what's his name? Oh, I can't remember his name.
From Caddyshack.
But yeah, I don't remember
his name.
Yeah.
Oh, what basically, he looks like Lauren Green. He's in my head. He was in Too Close for Comfort. I don't know what his name is.
Oh, Ted Knight?
Yeah, Ted Knight. Yeah. Ted Knight would have done well. He's a Vegas type of guy. This guy ended up being, I think, kind of funny, but his what's the deal with his hair?
What is that hair?
Right. Who is this guy?
I have no idea. I thought he was this.
What is that hair?
It's the weirdest hair ever.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
It's like a little Michael? It's like a little cotton puff. I don't know. How is that even real? It almost looks like a wig.
Know.
But it would not be real. The weirdest
wig to have.
That is the craziest wig. That's like the Sandy Duncan haircut.
I've never stood this close to an angel before. I've stood next to the devil.
I mean, look at this. Like the way it's segmented in a way. It's odd. Definitely. So wait, what is this guy's name?
Dick Shawn.
All right, I'm going to see if I could find anything on him.
But it's a strange feeling to be in the middle here, honoring a guy who represents so much to us all.
I mean, the hair doesn't even show business, like it belongs
life,
to him.
People who raise families. And that's why it's difficult tonight to roast this man, because he's a good person. In fact, everything said tonight so far can be said again at his funeral.
He would die 2 years after this, by the way. All right, so I thought this was
really?
I thought that this is actually was a decent joke. A little bit dark, but it's pretty decent.
And that's why it's difficult tonight to roast this man, because he's a good person. In fact, everything said tonight so far can be said again at his funeral. You cannot roast a man like this. You roast people like Don Rickles because he's mean. He's also built like a pig.
It's like amazing. He's also built like a pig.
Dean Martin is a true legend and attractive, and not only a legend to us and the world, a legend to the medical profession.
Wait, I'm going to bring one of the craziest pictures of this guy. You're going to love this, Kelly. Look at this.
What is he holding? A flower?
Yeah, like I kind of think this guy's incredible. Like I want to know who he is because I have a feeling.
What does that say under there? Like where is this from?
Dick Shawn died 38 years ago today at the age of 63. Shawn was born.
Oh,
blah blah blah.
I think even that's a wig.
Look at this. He's known for his strange hair. It's like a crop circle.
Okay, there that looks more normal there than anywhere
else.
He's
in drag. Wait, what? So what has this guy been in? Oh, boy. God. Dick Shawn. So he was in a Mad, Mad, Mad World like everyone else in Hollywood. It's in the producers. All right, so he's been in things. I'm waiting for him to be like in Little House or something.
Tales from the Dark Side, though.
Yeah, it's the Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Madam's Place.
What the hell is that?
You know what Madam's Place was, don't you?
Oh, is that the puppet?
Yes. This is the worst thing.
Oh, ever. Yes, I got it. I got it.
Oh, wow.
Ugh.
That talk was, about something that's dated. Like you couldn't get a show like that on the air.
It's, but it had like celebrities on it, right? Like, I mean, so strange. All right, who cares? But yeah, I'm gonna look him up because I'm just kind of curious. I don't know. Maybe he's like one of these kind of interesting people. I don't know. He's also in Amazing Stories, which is kind of.
For one thing, I've known Michael Landon twice. I met him an hour ago and now. So I understand the man.
I like that. It's kind of like fans of Michael Landon, you know, like they know nothing about him, but it's like, but I understand him. Have you ever met him?
Yeah, that's true.
What have you seen? I saw a few episodes of A Little House on the Prairie. That's it.
No, Bonanza.
Yeah, Bonanza. So I'm going to jump to Melissa Gilbert, which is probably the biggest bummer of the entire night.
Such a bummer.
Yeah, not. I thought you guys would be moved, touched.
Moved?
You seem cynical now.
Here's the lovely young lady who was Michael's radiant young co-star all those years on Little House on the Prairie. Pretty Miss Melissa Gilbert.
That's
I hate that shirt. Bananas. I hate that shirt.
Yeah, I don't know what she's wearing, but I do not like it.
So this is around when she was dating Rob Lowe, I think. I mean, I don't know what else she was really doing after
Post Little House.
Yeah. All right, get ready for the really bad edit. It's like...
Yeah.
To you young people watching... For a long time, it's been clear to Michael.
So this is another thing, Kelly, you might not be aware of because you should be thankful you didn't have to live through this. And that's Nancy Reagan's what was it? Just Say No, right, Chris?
Just Say No. Yep.
And this stuff was shoved down our throats. Every like commercial, every in school, there would be, speakers and assemblies. And it would be basically
and you're
what
just
she's
sitting
doing.
There like we should totally hit it again, right. But I get first.
We should dibs totally on. Hit it again, but I get first dibs on it. Cocaine.
That a crusade against the horrible dragon of drug abuse.
Dragon. Can you not enunciate? Please try to enunciate into the microphone. Listen to her. I mean, what is, she's a lazy talker. She has no respect for the spoken word.
To you young people watching, for a long time it's been clear to Michael that a crusade against the horrible dragon of drug abuse is one of the highest priorities in our country.
Say it three times fast. Dwagon of drug abuse. Dwagon of drug abuse.
The horrible
dragon. Do you
dragon.
Like her? Do you like her 80s mullet? Talking about his mullet.
I don't think it's a mullet. You know, it's pulled back. So it's in a
clip. Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. I think it's just a short haircut.
She's like a banana. It's not she's like an old school
it's
banana
not the
clip.
Worst. Yeah. It's not the worst for 80s hair because I really am not into 80s hair and 80s fashion. It's probably my least favorite decade, but it's not the worst.
And her makeup's okay. 80s. I mean, it's pretty light. Like, it's not like she's wearing, like, too much, actually.
I really think that there were episodes of Little House on the Prairie where she had more makeup on than this.
Yeah,
it's, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
He personally felt the pain of...
All right, let's cut to Michael. It's like, this is like in the control room.
Witnessing one of his own children in a terrible struggle against chemical dependency.
Good.
It was then that he threw himself wholeheartedly into a real-life role. This
Stay
one
on
is
him.
An all-out...
Stay on him. Why are you going there?
...activist against this pervasive evil. That battle reaches all the way up to the White House and our First Lady, Nancy Reagan.
Nancy Reagan.
I have seen Michael work...
He's
going
to cry. Look at Dean. Dean's on the verge.
He took his glasses off. Out of respect.
I can't believe how old he looks.
Yeah. What's he, like 31?
Constantly. He
we
warns him.
Totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
The hazards of drugs.
It's pretty much what was going on behind the scenes that night.
Sometimes they don't listen. But he keeps trying. God knows he tries.
He's like, what is she talking about? That is literally what I kept thinking. I'm like, is he thinking like, what? It's like, I thought this girl was out of my life. She just Like, honestly, it's like, this is what's going on. Wait, I'm going to tell you what he's thinking.
He warns him of the hazards of drugs. Sometimes they don't listen.
What is she talking about?
But he keeps trying.
She has no idea anything about my family.
And he feels that as long as his vision is alive in one teenager's vision. Heart, he hasn't failed.
Only good vision I have is my father.
I love you. So I have some things to say about that, other than that it sucked. But I mean, okay, so like the whole, he was, you know, really into this, you know, kind of advocating as drug abuse, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And we have all these episodes. Chris of Little House, know about we have it.
Chris had no
idea. I did not know his daughter had some problems.
Yeah. It was his stepdaughter. So his, second wife, Lynn, she had a kid when they got married. So it was her daughter, you know, that she brought to the marriage. And gotcha. So it was his stepdaughter. And she wrote a book about him, which is sort of controversial, but only controversial in the way that Michael Landon fandom things are controversial.
And you just read this not that long ago, right?
Yeah, and I thought it was, you know, quite good. I mean, she talks like pretty truthfully about things in his life, but also I think it was really obvious that she really loved and respected him and, you know, really appreciated everything he gave her. But she was in a car accident with, I think there were four people in the car, and it was a really bad car accident. Mm-hmm. And she almost died, but didn't, but had lifelong issues as a result of it. And she became addicted to pain pills. So that's what they're referencing here.
You know what? Do you know when that was? I mean, I wonder if this, what she's talking about, has something to do with all of that. Like, I wouldn't be too surprised.
But I think that so he was, you know, into advocating against the drug abuse because, you know, his stepdaughter did it, but also he was an addict too, which I think we brought up last time when, you know, the last of us we were talking about. And I think it's kind of, to me, I think it's kind of crazy that nobody ever really is talking about that, because I never really heard about that mm-hmm. until I read her book. But then it's pretty well known that he was into, you know, campaigning against drug use, but I guess never really referenced his own past as an addict.
Yeah, because he took like a kind of interesting drug, which he was addicted to, excuse me, a drug I've never even heard of. And Kelly and I looked it up, and it's a pretty hardcore thing. How many pills?
And he was just taking an insane amount of them and then just quit, apparently, like just totally cold turkey quit. But I think it's kind of, it's weird that, I mean, I think people know that he was a drinker and a smoker and all this stuff like that, but I don't think that his addiction to pills is really something that's referenced much, which I think is kind of interesting given his involvement in kind of campaigning against drug use.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that about that it never came up, you know?
So the only thing I found here was, and do you know Mark Landon? Like, is this like
Mark Landon?
Yeah. Is this like an illusion? Like, is this one of these like fake things that Grok is trying to tell me? Are you sure Mark Landon is a real person? Because this is like too good. I bet you it's like one of these like made up things that AI tends to do way too often. I'll have to get back. Basically, it gives me this like crazy thing about being arrested for possession of heroin and
Mark Landon.
Yeah, it was a real person. Is, I don't know. Mark Landon's adopted son from his first marriage. He was arrested on March 15th, 1984 in Los Angeles for possession of heroin and
cocaine.
So he had another arrest in 86, which would have been after this, for the same thing, but also hypodermic needles. I didn't know that at all. Leslie Lander, according to this, went to rehab. Did you know about that?
I didn't know this.
He was in rehab. Yeah.
It says for cocaine. Like, I didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well,
wow.
I mean, look, if I don't want anybody coming and attacking me on this is from Grok. but I did ask it to double check to make sure that these are accurate. And it does give me sources. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Leslie landed into rehab for cocaine addiction in 1983. She relapsed and was arrested for possession of cocaine on July 11th, 1984. So you have Leslie and Mark both being arrested within, 4 months of each other for, like, the same thing. That was like a party house. We have to fact check this. Like...
One is Mark, though? Like, so that's his kid.
Adopted son from her from first marriage. Then there's Shauna Landon, who basically had she was cocaine ready. Her cocaine use and rehab stays were less publicly documented, but family members and Michael Landon himself referenced her struggles in interviews around 85 to 87.
Did you say that was about Leslie or about the other
Mark, one? Leslie, and Shauna? All of them.
Hmm. Wait, okay, because what was the...
But then there's Michael.
I think, what's her name?
Well, but I don't know if Michael ever had any... Well, he did, though. Didn't Michael Landon Jr. have something?
Wait, okay, so the stepdaughter who was addicted that I was talking about, her name is Cheryl. Wait, were they all addicted? I'm not, like, laughing about that, yeah, but I'm like, we're all kids. I mean, I can't keep it straight. I don't know. So which of the kids are they talking about here? I thought it was the one...
So Mark, Leslie, and Shauna. I think Shauna is the same person. Shauna is the daughter from second marriage. Leslie is the daughter from first marriage. And Mark is the adopted son from the first marriage.
No, Leslie's from his second marriage.
Well, it's AI, so I can't.
Well, so, I mean, yeah, that's not really accurate.
All right. So, I mean, this could all be fake. This could all be just a big illusion. But.
Cocaine.
All right. Let's get back to. But it wouldn't surprise me, being. If he went through that to have all of this, you know, said to him here, it's kind of bold. Like, I have to say, if that's the case, if his kids are like that much in the news at this period of time, this whole show might be a PR stunt to clean up his name. Right? I mean, why else even do this? So, all right, Vic Tayback, the guy who's probably selling everyone cocaine.
I'm glad that I was invited. You know, doing Alice all these years, it's just nice to get out of the kitchen.
Oh, boy. So, does Vic Tayback say anything that's funny?
Wait, let me look.
I remember I kind of enjoyed...
Yeah, he's no Slappy White.
Kelly just sent me a picture. It was funny. we're trying to figure out if AI is trying to trick us or not, and we're, like, slandering people. Everything within this episode has not been fact checked, and should just be considered alleged.
for entertainment purposes. For,
exactly, it's a huge parody. So let's see, Vic. I remember Vic Tayback had a couple jokes that were halfway decent.
Your old friend of mine, Lauren Green. Lauren's whole life.
Lauren Green does not look happy when people say his name. Well, actually, you know what he's going to talk about? I'm sorry.
Has Lauren Green just always looked that age? Yes. Because I feel like he just always looks that way.
I can't picture him with dark hair. Actually, he had a little bit of salt and pepper hair in the last one that we did. But let's see. We have another Alpo commercial. This is what I kind of remember Lauren Green doing when I was a kid. And then when Buck Rogers went into syndication, I'm like, hey. Not Buck Rogers. I said that again.
Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. And I was like, wow.
You were just thinking guy. Of Gil Gerard speaking of Buck Rogers.
R.I.P.
Oh, he just died. Yeah.
When I come home, he's happy. I like to see him that way. That's one of the reasons I feed him Alpo. He's happy eating his natural food, beef. Like the beef in Alpo Beef Chunks Dinner. And Alpo provides 100% complete nutrition for all his life.
What is his name, Alpo?
Got Alpo? He feels right at home. Yes, Alpo. It's got the beef dogs love to eat.
Ugh.
Yeah, they call it Beef Chunks Dinner.
Beef Chunks That's, Dinner. When I go to the restaurant, that's where I like to order. Can I have the Beef Chunks Dinner?
I have the Beef Chunks Dinner.
Can I get the Beef Chunks Dinner? Yeah, biggie size it. With waffle fries. Thank you.
Is Alpo still around?
Wait, is somebody hitting the microphone? Someone?
My kid's upstairs pounding on the floor. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. No problem.
Alpo does still exist. I've seen it actually at the store. I know that's that Walmart funny. Has it. I've seen it there. And yeah,
I'm sure I've bought it and tried to feed it to my dogs because my dogs don't eat anything.
It's gone to the door.
I think I bought it once and I thought that it was like, it just seemed gross compared to other dog food. And then I never bought it again.
My dogs just don't eat anything. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. I even bought like expensive like refrigerated dog food and they just look at it and go, "What's this? I don't want this crap."
I mean, the fresh.
Do you feed them off the table?
No. I used to. Now they've learned their lesson. They get nothing. You starve them out a little bit, they'll eat anything you put down. Yeah, my dogs are not good eaters. So, should I play? Oh.
He even puts newspapers under his hush puppies. Oh, by the way, Don, when you were on foul up.
Hush puppies are slippers, right? Chris, do
yes.
you remember?
Yes.
They don't make those anymore, right?
No, they're like shoes. Hush puppies.
Oh.
They were shoes.
Huh. It's like a
like Buster Brown.
It's just a super outdated reference. Even Buster Brown's, I don't think Buster Brown's is in business anymore. Are they? It's like Fava or something.
Bleeps and blunders. I never missed one of your shows. God knows I tried.
So this must have been what I was thinking about. He had some type of blooper show, apparently. So maybe that triggered me to do the search. I was like, all right, I have to find something positive in this thing. So I'm going to jump around. So this girl, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm surprised they didn't say, like, don't talk about his ears. It should have been on the list of, like, things not to talk about. And Chris, you looked at her on Johnny Carson, right?
Yeah, and she tells the same jokes.
How did she get on Johnny Carson? I mean, what?
15 times. Like, she was on it a lot.
Yeah, like. I mean, I wonder if she did the same jokes every time. It's a decent joke. It's just that, you know, you can't tell the same jokes.
Well, I think that you should be the next actor to run for president. Because we need an angel in the White House.
Yeah, like, so far, I don't detect any accent.
I thought it was a southern accent, actually.
Yeah, like,
I mean, even President Reagan takes his orders from a higher power, Nancy. And she has such confidence in her husband that when he won the second election, she was so filled with emotion, she almost blinked. But, you know, I want to be like you. I really do. I would like to be like you. And women can be like men now if they want to. They can. And vice versa, because I went out with a man, and he acted very feminine. You know, he dimmed the lights and poured the wine. I acted real masculine. I took off all my clothes except my socks, then lay on the bed and started snoring.
Yeah, she told that exact joke verbatim. Like, it's bizarre. I don't know. Like, you could see she's like, all right, that joke landed again. For the 80th time.
Pulling it off is what she's thinking.
I'm very attracted to football players, you know. Because I went out with one once, and he could do push-ups with one hand because he needed the other hand to count.
See, it's weird. They show Merlin also. I don't know. I think they forgot that he was a football player.
And one more thing, if you don't mind me saying so, because I saw you on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and you said that the reason that you let your hair grow long and everything like that is because you want to cover your ears up, because you're ashamed of them, because they're real big.
Dean Martin just looks stone-faced. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about right now?
But look at him. He's like, don't say it. He, like, wants to kill her.
Yeah, he's like,
like, we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Didn't Michael Landon marry her?
And you shouldn't be ashamed of your ears. You should let them stick right out. Because
800 people laughing in his ears. I mean, that cannot be mentally healthy, right?
A woman loves a man with big ears. It gives her something to hang on to when you kiss him.
Jeez. So, slightly dirty comic, but still, like, she just doesn't do it for me. Like, I just... They should give her the hook. What do you think next?
Are you gonna play Merlin Olsen?
Yeah, I'm looking for the clip of that.
He is at...
I'm so, like, lost here. I'm sorry.
Wait.
I'll find out.
He's at 1725.
1725. Ah, my little bar. 1725.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the best.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yates.
Best there is at what he does, Merlin Olsen.
Thank you.
He's in pretty good shape here. I mean, it's pretty... thin for, like, Merlin Olsen. Looks it.
I think he looks thinner than he did on Little House.
Right? I always like Merlin Olsen. He's another one of these guys that doesn't appear to have aged until he got really old. Then he got really old.
Did you watch his show after Little House?
Father Murphy. I did watch a few episodes, and I think it's really good, actually.
Really?
It's worth watching. And... It's a weird show, and that's another I'll bring up Pete two times in this episode, where Pete was bidding on the Halloween costume of Father Murphy, and I don't know, Pete made an offer that, like, totally lowballed him, and then I made the same offer, and he accepted my offer, but it rejected
me. Yeah, it was such bullshit.
Yeah, well, one of these days I'll send you the Merlin Olsen costume.
I cannot imagine anyone actually buying that costume and being Father Murphy for Halloween.
Can you imagine?
It's unbelievable.
It really is. It is the most insane costume. It's like being Lauren Green. It really is like being.
I can't believe they even made it. It's crazy.
Who the hell are you? I'm Father Murphy. You're 8 years old. What do you know about Father Murphy? That's like being Kezia. So actually, Kezia would be a better costume. Is there anyone worse? Like, imagine being Sully from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. That'd be kind of fun. You had a fringe jacket.
How little lean to
a little tomahawk. You have a little animal, like a little wolf.
Thank you, Dean. It's always a real pleasure for me to see you. And Michael, an honor to be here. And not only do I have the greatest respect for your talent, but you've been such a help to me in my career. And I'm just, I'm proud to have you for a friend. So when Dean called, of course I said, yes, I'd be glad to be here. And now, unlike some of the other members of the dais, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. You see, Dean only called me a couple of hours ago, but he had a very good reason for doing that. You see,
I think that should have been a laugh, right? That he just got called a few hours ago because it's like all being thrown together last minute. But not one laugh.
Bob Hope couldn't make it.
It's true.
Well, another problem I have is that, so he does an awful impersonation of Bob Hope.
Yes.
And it's just not funny.
It's true. So on very short notice, here I am, and there is one problem. You see, they gave me Bob Hope's speech, and I'm afraid that's going to be a real challenge. But, well, here goes.
I thought at first it started out okay, but then I was like, oh, it's going on a little long.
This is Merlin. It's great to be here at the MGM Grand Olson. How about this kid, Michael Landon? He's beautiful, isn't he? But a little bit square. You know, when he's listening to his Lawrence Welk records, he's almost shouting, one more time. And what about all this sex on television? You know, the other night I tuned in Night Court, and here was this judge wearing a see-through robe.
I don't get it. Like, I have no idea what the hell they're talking about. I mean, I know Night Court.
And this violence on TV is really something, isn't it? Last night I saw three cars explode, five muggings, and three shootouts. And that was just on Sermonette. Baseball's getting more violent, too. And how about those New York Yankees? How about them, Dean? The other day I saw a guy get picked off first base by a sniper. Hey, Michael, it's great to be here with you, and this is a night I'll never forget. Good night, Dean, and good night, Merlin.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's a good effort.
It was
I mean, it was no rehearsal, nothing. Basically, Lauren Green gives the same speech he gave last time. Right? I mean, he doesn't really do anything interesting.
He's always been a son to me.
This guy was kind of funny, I thought. Like, I have no idea who he is. He just looks like...
He was in the prior roast.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He just a little bit gray now. He looks like Shecky Green or something. He doesn't.
Michael Landon has always portrayed a hero. A man who was virile and masculine and circumvented. The type of rugged pioneer hero that we all need to look up to for insulation and crotchiality. And how ironic that we should have this roast here in Las Vegas, which is probably the most concrete example of man's pioneering spirit in America today. Look where we are. Take a moment, walk out on the sidewalk, and look bisexually around this town.
It's just so weird.
The pioneers who came here, men like Michael Landon and Dick Butkus and Bubba Smith. We need heroes, scandals, and things that are going on. Doesn't it make you feel better to know that we have a man in the White House who is physically incapable of a sexual scandal? Look around. Think of the Western heroes. Colonel William B. Cody, who devoted his entire life to hunting for buffalo because he was a moron.
Because he was a moron. I feel like I'm at my bar mitzvah. So Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought this guy was kind of funny.
Something he said actually reminded me, though. I don't know if I told you this, Mark.
What?
I had this thought, I don't know, a couple years ago. Total missed opportunity on Highway to Heaven. They could have had an episode where they were driving to Las Vegas, and it's called Highway to Hell. I mean, because, like, their mission is in Vegas.
Highway to Hell! So wait, all right. So I have to ask. So this is going to be probably the last episode of the year for Land and Nation and VHS Rewind. What are you guys doing for New Year's? I'll be doing nothing.
Yeah, really have any plans?
I think my kid's going to a party. That's I think really? That's yeah. Really, Chris? You're probably having a party. What?
They were pushing for something, but I can't. I can't have people.
Why not? Let them do it. Do you have the pool open still?
Do you think there's drinking at this party your son's going to? Or
there might be, you know, but he doesn't. You know, he's very aware of what he can and can't do outside of the house. But like we gotcha. Went to a Hanukkah party the other night at our local like synagogue, and he had wine there. I mean, that's like kind of a normal thing, but I don't encourage it, you know. But he also doesn't really. He just hasn't gone down that route yet.
Good. Yep.
And what about your kids, Kelly? Are they drinking yet?
Yeah, they are just.
Was really it three and? let's see. All right, Miss Gilbert, bummer. What should we play next?
Slappy White.
Oh yeah, Slappy White. Slappy White has never met Michael Landon before this night.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Nobody has.
Do you have a
time? Do you think this woman has?
No. I think Michael Landon even has a look on his face of like, who are these people? I mean, some
Slappy's at, you know. 35-47.
I mean, Orson Welles is pretty amazing.
He is.
I'm going to play him since we're... Well, I'll come back to Orson Welles. So Slappy's after him, I believe. I swear to God, I thought it was John Amos when I first saw him. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, John Amos isn't. So. Is John Amos still alive? Did he just recently die? I don't know.
Who?
John Amos, the dad from Good Times.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that earlier this year? Yeah, no, that must
be. I don't know.
Every time Dean had a roast show, he always called me to come up to be on the show because I'm the only one up here who knew where to find barbecue ribs at 4 o'clock in the morning.
This is... All right. Damn, Chris, you all right? So, all right. So Slappy's role is a lot like... Oh my God! What's his name? The guy with one eye, the black guy.
With what?
The guy with the glass
with one eye.
Yeah. Why am I forgetting?
His name? Sammy Davis. Yeah. Sammy Davis.
So he's representing, I guess, the black person in the thing. I mean, we have Bubba, but I mean, this is like kind of like a Red Fox type of thing. And actually I did watch the Red Fox roast and he was on it. And then I looked at another one and Slappy was on it. Slappy basically it was like Dean and Slappy show or something. He's on so many, but yeah, basically, ribs at 4 a.m.
And what about this hotel, Hans? Grand Hotel, MGM Grand. The towels are so big and fluffy, you can hardly close your suitcase. I would just stand in the men's room and made $8 worth of change.
Brandon said to me, he said, Slappy, the towns have about 100,000 people here this week, and we're a little short on rooms. You have to room with Bubba Smith.
So, all right, I have to say, this Slappy is such an outdated character for even 1985.
Oh, definitely for 85.
I mean, no one was on television like this. It was, we had moved on, and it's like, not Slappy. Slappy's bringing it right back to, like, holy cow. He may as well be in Blackula or something, like one of these blaxploitation movies.
I think he was famous for playing like Vegas, but like in the afternoon hours, you know, like he's not prime talent.
I think he's funny and everything. It's just really just outdated.
So Dick says, Slappy, I used to room with Bubba. He'll keep you awake all night with his snoring. I said, I don't care how loud Bubba Smith snores. He's not going to keep me awake.
Bubba Smith is like, he's like, don't talk.
Where is this going, man?
Yeah.
Where is this going?
And I think this is a decent joke, actually.
So I come out the shower, Bubba lean over in the bed, and I walked over and kissed him right in the mouth. He sat up all night watching me sleep.
Wasn't that funny?
But we don't see Michael Landon once in that. I just wonder, like, did Michael Landon lose his sense of humor by this period of time? He just looks uncomfortable.
But for you people who from L.A., you're going to drive back to Los Angeles tomorrow, the best time to get in L.A. is 9 o'clock in the morning. By that time of morning, the Jews are in Palm Springs, the Catholics are in church, the blacks are in jail, and the Mexicans can't get their car started.
It's like a 1976 Cheech and Chong movie. It's like, what is this?
We were playing blackjack last night. A big black guy was dealing the cards like this. Now it was three black guys here. I was here. Two black guys here. And Michael landed on the end. Michael gets blackjack and was scared to say it. You said, what you got? He said, gin.
Maybe somewhat kind of noteworthy comparing this to the first one is the first one, we definitely heard the Michael Landon laugh at least a couple of times. Yep. You do not hear it on this one.
Yeah, it's definitely, I have it here. I can add it.
You say, what you got? He say, gin.
Looks like some people left. This is going on too long. We're gonna get out of here.
I like the cue cards right there. You can see those cue cards.
Look at that. Wow, that's crazy. I didn't notice that.
Actually, from where the stage is,
I'd be squinting.
I could, there's no way I could read that.
My eyes
no way.
Suck. So it's like, I'd be like, what does it say? Especially look at those glasses. I mean, come on. Actually, I would probably need like a stronger prescription if I had to read those cue cards. So yeah, this guy was in Hardcastle McCormick, which is a show I never watched.
It's on Tubi right now. I saw that.
It's just, I just am not a big fan of, you know, that type of 80s TV. So I'm going to play Orson Welles.
Thank you, Dave.
Who I think would die 7 days after this or something. He might very well might have.
Very soon after, right?
Well, yeah. Look at his outfit.
I was actually wondering if we knew the date that this was filmed.
Yeah,
it would be actually really interesting. Was this the last thing he ever did? Because that would be crazy.
It really could be. I mean, it always comes up that the last thing he did was Transformers, but it really could be this. I'm gonna do a search while he's talking.
Once upon a time, when concepts such as microchips, satellite dishes, and digital readouts We're still dancing in the heads of our scientific thinkers. There was a relatively simple form of home entertainment. Radio. This, of course, was in the pre-television Paleolithic period that the archaeologists refer to as BC, before Carson. And when radio was the reigning monarch in our living rooms, one of its happiest gifts to us was the sparkling humor of the great Fred Allen Show. And I remember when old Titus Moody, that cracker barrel Socrates, who was one of Fred's more curiously eloquent inventions, defined television thusly. Well, he said, I don't hold much with furniture that lights up and smiles at you. Well, that smiling, leering, yelling piece of furniture has been dominating our lives ever since. It's brought us boredom, banality, and worse, violence.
You know, Orson Welles right now is looking at the entire room of 800 people and everybody there, and he's thinking, all of these people are morons. Like, they don't understand a word I'm talking about, and I am so much better than them. So apparently this aired, according to Apple TV and Tubi, aired on December 7th, 1984, not 85.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And Orson Welles would die on October 10th, 1985. So
this is almost a year before
he
died.
Yeah, almost a year.
But this still very young man has throughout his career made a valiant effort to reverse that tide. And he's doing it again at a time when the most cherished staples of TV entertainment are crime and car crashes. Here's a courageous fellow daring to go against the grain by portraying an angel who performs acts of kindness and charity. Kindness and charity? What a wild notion. Are we really ready for anything that radical, that revolutionary? Are we prepared to give up our beloved karate kicks to the groin, exploding helicopters, and the mating sound of two pickup trucks colliding?
Okay, so if you imagine this monologue to be him, just imagine him, as I referenced earlier, being like a random hobo at the train station and
yeah.
Little house.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine in that context, and he's going on this monologue.
So one of the it's so weird, you know, Orson Welles sounds just like he did in Citizen Kane to me, and it's just amazing. And he was only 27 years old, I think, or 26 during the filming of Citizen Kane, and here he is like, I don't know, 80 or something, probably 50. And it's just crazy to me that, he's also just, I don't know, such a great person. I don't know. I'm guessing he wrote this because did you guys,
I would think yeah, so.
Have you ever heard the outtakes from Orson Welles, commercials? Either one of you ever heard of this?
Yes, where he's cursing all the time.
He's, did you ever hear of this, Kelly? You gotta look it up. So it's like he'll be doing like a shaving cream commercial or something. It's just audio, and he's basically yelling at the engineer. He's like, "Can we just run that back again? Could you do it again?" He's like, "Well, what was wrong with that one?" And he's clearly just plastered, and it's just so funny. He's like, "Fine, I'll do it again. Do it again." He's like, "I'm a professional," and then he just kind of goes and he does it, and he goes, "That was perfect." And you know, he's just basically, and he curses at them. He's like, it's really crazy. In his old age, he definitely became like a very violent and angry alcoholic,
crotchety old man.
Yeah.
Let's devoutly hope that we are, and that there's still a place on the tube for Michael's kind of programming with its emphasis on real.
Same shot as before. Same shot.
It is
same eye movement.
I was thinking that he was doing that when Melissa Gilbert was talking, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fix your tie, Michael.
Yeah. Human values.
in a world where all things frightful are beamed straight into our homes the instant they happen. We need Michael's weekly injection of goodness and decency as desperately as the diabetic needs his insulin.
Well, I mean, it's true. I get, you know, the reference is good. I almost want to use this monologue for the beginning of Land and Nation. We need Michael's, you know. But
that would be amazing.
Right? The whole thing, right? But yeah, I just think I think what he said is really sweet and very nice. I think it's a little bit weird with the insulin comment. Being he's probably definitely diabetic. So I don't know. And people are just afraid to clap. They're just like, all right, were those the jokes? Orson Welles not known for comedy.
Thank you.
I think he was well aware that Michael Landon wanted him there. And, you know, he kind of made it special for him. All right, so Don Rickles, the man of the hour. Kelly, when you listen to Don Rickles, do you see that he's funny, or are you kind of like, eh? Because I don't know. I grew up with him. That's why I'm kind of like nostalgic.
I think he seems funny, you know, at least moderately funny, where, you know, you can listen to him and, you know, kind of laugh and stuff.
He's known as one of the meanest comics. And it's, yeah, if you.
And the first few jokes here will tell you why. Yeah.
Thanks, Dean. We're going to tell you all about this tomorrow.
That's amazing.
That was pretty good.
That hair. Jeez.
And Vic Tayback, you shouldn't have come. You made a fool of yourself. I'm a friend. And Bubba?
I would love to say that to somebody. It's like, you made a fool out of yourself. I'm a friend.
With a few almonds on your face, we got candy.
What does that mean? Almond joy or something?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. That's...
You made a fool of yourself. I'm a friend. And Bubba, with a few almonds on your face, we got candy. I'm only kidding you, Bubba. The black people belong in this country.
That is
just
actually okay, surprising for 1984.
Right. Just shrugs.
Definitely could not do that today.
Just shrugs. Wait. Just the way he shrugs, like, whatever. Honestly, when we get a bad review, that's my opinion. Wait, what, Kelly?
I made Pete come into the room for this part. I actually backed it up, and I was like, you have to come, you know, watch this part. And he turned away, like, right before he shrugged. And then I'm like, no, turn around. Like, it's visual. Yeah. I mean, like, it's like you have to see the way he does it. But I just could not believe it.
I'm only kidding you, Bubba. The black people belong in this country. When the show is over, clean up these tables.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I mean, I just cannot believe it.
Yeah.
See if you see teeth coming towards you.
Oh, my God. Wait. All right. So that's another, like, what? Like, how is he pulling this off in 1984?
When the show is over, clean up these tables. As you laugh and see if you see teeth coming towards me. And Melissa, I happen to know you're 41. You're a marvelous young actress. I wish you luck. I know what Michael paid you, and her and her mother are living in two rooms in the valley going, psst, sailor. Anyway,
do you think that laugh was from her?
Well, I think she's just happy that somebody's saying her name.
Somebody said her name.
And of course, Brian Keith, you're a great actor. We've never met before, and now that I see you up close, you're old. Pat Harrington, if that broad dies on the show, your career could skyrocket. You are a wonderful Irishman. Your people live on beer and parades.
My God, he's just such a good he's just ridiculous.
And of course, Maureen, there's not much I can say about you. Are you single? Yes, well, I'm happily married, but my wife is ill. Of course, Lorne, God bless you and your wonderful career. There's so much happening for you.
Okay. I have a little shrug.
Of course, and Rich Little, once you find out who you are, your career can go many, many places. You never could do a Clark Gable like me. I'm going to tell you, baby, we're in a lot of trouble. The men are tired. Dive. He's trying to make a living out of doing other people. And of course, the great Dean Martin, you and I know it's over for you, but seriously, though, Michael, I've seen you on the shows with Wagons West. You're a marvelous actor. You've told me that many, many times when we met. You're a laid-back guy. You have a wonderful family. And I love the way you make love. He's great. I go over his house and takes a wet whip and goes, yeah! Just like it's a wagon train going west. You got to make love like the Jews. Surely you start, I'm going to get a paper.
So I didn't get his joke with the wagon west thing. I mean, I just... It's somebody who's never watched it, you know, Little House or anything.
I say to you, Michael, really, with all the nonsense, you're a tremendous artist. I've never had the pleasure to work for you. I'm not making plans along those lines. My career's going fine, and you're not going to slow it up. Good luck to you. You're a fine gentleman.
Was he ever on Highway to Heaven?
No, he was not. Nope.
Kind of surprised.
Right? His one chance at a dramatic role, and Michael Landon would have given it to him.
Yeah,
he could have been in the Highway to Hell episode.
Yeah, he could have been the devil.
Yeah.
Don Rickles, well, the devil.
There actually is an episode with the devil. But it's not.
Yeah, we haven't covered a Highway to Heaven in a long time. Yeah, I'm all lost now. Who's left?
Michael. We gotta do Michael.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right.
And he too doesn't really do jokes. He goes for the heartstrings, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. If you want to go out that way.
Again, I would imagine that this might be a PR stunt.
Dean, I want to thank you very, very much for the heartfelt words. It's also a pleasure to be with a guy who I have admired for many, many years from the beginning of my career. A guy who was very good to me in the beginning when I would do some songs and dances on his show. Dean is has made all of us laugh for
what?
You should play a clip of Michael Landon singing with Dean Martin. I sent you like one of those clips.
Oh,
if you want. Otherwise,
I did not. Right. I don't have it.
All right, keep going.
All right, sorry.
God knows how many years in this business, and he's a joy and a wonderful guy to be with. Brian Keith, a buddy of mine, a terrific guy. Brian, the things you said about me, I know, were for laughs.
Also, this is all heavily edited. You could, like you mentioned earlier, Chris, like this is like really, really poorly edited. So I wonder, did this go on for like 2 hours? And was it, you know, were there more jokes to be heard?
That would explain why some people started leaving.
It's true.
and I just wish he would have gotten one sometime. Lorne, I'm not going to make any jokes about Lorne. You could see tonight that there just isn't anything funny. Lorne and I have known each other for an awful lot of years, and on all the years that Bonanza was on, he did treat me like a son, and the show is off now, Lorne, and I would appreciate it if you would stop taking me off your income tax as a deduction. I'd also like to thank one of the real giants in this business for a very nice tribute that he paid to me. Mr. Orson Welles, a man I've idolized for years. Orson, I want to thank you very much. Well, I hope you had a lot of fun tonight. We've had a lot of zingers, not just at me, but everybody else here on the dais.
Almost no zingers, really, right?
Yeah, right? I was just thinking that. It was way too tame.
Just his hair helmet.
For me, I think it's kind of good that we can look at ourselves and laugh a little bit, not take ourselves too seriously. And do that with everybody you know. Have some fun with people. Enjoy your fellow man. Do something nice for him. God bless you.
What's up with his fist?
Yeah. What's with the black power fist?
Yeah, well, it could be like the red fist, you know, like a little communism action going on there. The Red Scare. But I don't know. He seemed really depressed. He didn't seem so like happy about this.
Yeah, like the first one.
Yeah. How much longer did Dean Martin do these roasts?
Again, I thought they were done a long time before this one.
Yeah, it's like a podcast that just never ends. It's like, how many episodes? I guess he would just do it until people stopped buying tickets, right? So strange.
According to Wikipedia, he did it till 1984. So this was one of the last ones, one? I guess. Yeah, this is it. Never again.
Yeah, I mean, Dean Martin, is it The Roast? I mean, is that the official name of the show?
Yeah,
it's just Dean Martin's Celebrity Roasts.
I'm just...
Holy what? This was the last one!
Was it really?
Yes, it was! It was. Wow.
It kind of feels like it, though. That's...
So the final people on it were Melissa Gilbert and Dick Butkus.
Wow.
Slappy White. So is that a fact? Like, this was the last?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of all of them right now. This was the last one.
Hmm.
That's why I was so excited, because I couldn't believe that it actually was.
I wish we knew that before. We could have...
Yeah.
Giving it a little bit more respect. all in all, there are some good and very dated jokes. But all in all, I think that it was good. I don't understand the point of this particular episode. So, except that I really think that it might have been just a PR type of thing.
He is so tan.
He's so tan. Like, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and this guy talks, but he's not really a funny. I don't know. He just doesn't really do it for me. But yes, that brings us to the end. That's the end of our listening year. We did a lot of stuff this year, and we're ending it on the final Michael Landon roast, or rather, the final Dean Martin roast. I think that's a big deal, right? I mean, there are probably hundreds of episodes, and for him to pay tribute to Michael Landon as the final episode is kind of a big deal.
I think this said there were 54
episodes. Really?
So, yeah.
I feel like that...
54, and he was on there twice.
Yeah. I mean, was that 4%? I don't know. I just think...
Well, 54 specials, I guess. But on the Dean Martin show, there would be little segments of it. But it, as its own standalone thing like this, there were 54.
Hmm. So Dean Martin roast. Yeah, I mean, it's just weird that they had those TV ads where they would sell the videotapes. And there's only 54? I guess that means... I mean, you probably only get one per... Not like these days where you would probably get several on one disc. Huh. I think it's, I don't know. It's a pretty good cast for the final. And, of course, Orson Welles would pass away in 1 year. Sad. And the career of all of them was already dead.
this is really weird. They did a roast of George Washington. They had someone portraying George Washington. Mm. And they roasted George Washington. That's weird.
It could be funny. Now, like, if they did a roast of historical figures, it could be funny, but...
Oh, that's the kind of thing that could be hilarious if you did it right, if you did it well.
And I just have a feeling with Dean Martin, I don't know. Was Dean Martin smart? Do you know anything about him, Chris?
I do not.
I don't really know much about him, except that he was a straight man in the Jerry Lewis movies. In the hilarious Jerry Lewis movies.
And he was a crooner.
Yeah, I mean, that was like it. You know, he was just kind of fell backwards into Vegas money.
Yeah.
And the mob. All right, well... Thank you guys so much for doing this. As always, I appreciate it. Have a happy new year. And Chris, don't have a party. Don't do it. Just don't.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, it's like Melissa Gilbert again. She's like, don't do drugs.
Just start playing her monologue every time your kids leave the house.
Yeah, they'd be like, all right, I won't. I've lost my taste for drugs just because of her. Wait, I want to find her again. Was she before or after? Yeah, she was before the Australian woman, right? Yeah. It's like, here's the bummer part.
It's priorities in To you young people watching.
To you young people. What a strange thing to say.
For a long Isn't time.
People?
Yeah, like, don't try to like.
I mean, she's relate. Not that old here, right?
Yeah, how old is she here? Let's see if she removed her. I bet she removed her age or something from. Oh, wait. She. I don't see. Oh, there we go. 64. So she's 20 or 21.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been clear to Michael.
You're not a teenager.
That a crusade against the horrible dragon of drug abuse.
The dragon of drug abuse. God, she really does not enunciate.
Is one of the highest priorities in our country. He personally felt the pain of
drugs. A blad. All right. Dwagon. All right, well, guys.
She looks like she's on drugs there. Look at those eyes.
I don't know, dude. I don't know if Melissa Gilbert ever had any type of problems with any public problems with drugs.
I thought that she did drugs with Rob Lowe.
Really? I would. I mean, hanging out with Rob Lowe.
That was always my understanding, that they had a very drug and alcohol fueled relationship.
I mean, look at the guy; he's gorgeous. And we're talking about 1980s Rob Lowe. We're not even talking about you know. Even now, he's aged well.
But now if you're with him, he'll give you like an Atkins bar or something.
Yeah, he's like, you want to. How do you feel about taking a little bit of a jug? You know, it's like, how about no? But, yeah. But, yeah, I really don't know anything about, you know, her drug use or if there was any. I'm sure she would deny it. Or she'll write a book about it. Who knows? My drug use. Proven. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Hope you have a merry, Christmas hasn't happened yet, so have a merry Christmas. And are you guys excited for Christmas?
I'm prepared.
Do you cook anything special for Christmas?
Yeah. What are you guys cooking? I need ideas.
Well, I'm going to get Chinese.
I think that we're probably going to have a ham and just stuff with it, ham with some sides and stuff.
That's nice.
Yep.
What about you, Chris?
I don't know yet. I'm scrambling.
Well, you can always do what we do, which is just order Chinese food. It's like the biggest Chinese thing.
Are they open on Christmas Day?
Yeah. Well, that was like
why. Totally. It's a big business day.
Yeah, it's like one of the busiest.
Oh, wow.
Especially when you live where I live, it's you have to wait like 2 hours for your food and stuff.
I thought like people actually do cook on this one day of the year, because it's something special. I didn't realize.
I don't celebrate Christmas. That's why. I mean, I'm sure if I celebrated Christmas, I would cook something typical. But
yeah,
well, I think a lot of people do cook at home, but I think that a lot of people actually don't. You know, they actually want to go somewhere. I mean, there are restaurants and stuff that people just go eat, and Thanksgiving too.
But I think it goes back to the days where. It goes back to the days where everything was closed on Christmas and still kind of is. And so the only thing that was open was like Chinese food. So like Jews started just saying, well, not going to cook. Just going to get some Chinese food. And then, and here we are. All right. Well, you guys, I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I'll talk to you guys soon.